Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to the book of John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 31. We'll just spend a few minutes where it took a little extra time this morning getting the Haiti report in. Aren't you glad that you live in Canada? You know that every year there's more of this in more countries all the time. Violence, unrest, riots, chaos. It's just more and more countries. The more civilized kind of countries are even be affected with this. And we need to pray for our leaders. We need to be responsible citizens in our country. We need to be salt in our society. Folks, we can still make a difference. And that's the way it'll digress into, even in this country, if we don't see help from heaven above. Well, there's a plan above, and that's the title of the message today, John chapter 3, verse 31. John the Baptist giving a summary of his ministry and a summary of the mission and a summary of the plan here of God's plan of Christ coming to earth and what he did. Verse 31, we'll read responsively. That means I'll read verse 31, and you respond on verse 32. It's on Pew Bible, page number 1100, up on the screen there, if you want to need a Pew Bible. So I'll start in verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Together, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Holy Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loved the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. This is a conclusion that John the Baptist is giving and regarding really up to verse 25 about the question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They were all talking about all this Jewish stuff, the purifying. And Jesus brings back, John gives them the plan. And it's simply this, the plan that is in place, the plan that is unfolding is above all. It's above all. And you see that twice in verse number 31. He that cometh from above is above all. And he ends that verse with the same thing. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Folks, it's a plan. It's a plan that is above all. It's above all. And you can be a part of it. You can be in on this great plan as John the Baptist was. Let's pray. Lord, help me in a few minutes share these truths that we take something home that will make a difference for all of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And this was John the Baptist. I want to read you something from E.M. Bounds as he starts Men of Prayer Needed. We just heard about Haiti, Men Needed. In Canada, we need men of prayer needed. He says, the church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That was John. The dispensation that heralded and prepared the way for Christ was bound up in that name, John, John the Baptist. Jesus said of John, there was none born among women that are greater than John the Baptist. He was a man of character, and he was a man that God chose and used. He was to herald in this play, and this writer, E.M. Bounds, makes reference to that. And he says, the world's salvation comes out of the cradled son. When Paul appeals to the personal character of the men who rooted the gospel in the world, he solves the mystery of their success. The glory and efficiency of the gospel is staked on the men who proclaim it. When God declares that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know what? God wants to work through men. God is calling men. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. That is what the church needs today. That is what we need today to be. We need to be men of prayer and men that God can use. John the Baptist was that. And he was connected to this plan that was above all. He introduces to us, we go John chapter 1, we saw the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We see in chapter 2, we see the miracle of the first miracle, the public miracle up in Galilee, the turning the water into wine. Then we see the next miracle. The next miracle was the coming down to Jerusalem, going into the temple, and chasing all of the abusers of the privilege of money exchangers and selling the sacrificial animals for the special Passover celebration. Jesus came in and cleaned them all out of the temple, flipped the tables upside down, took a scourge, and he was a one-man army. He came in and just cleaned house and was a miracle. This wasn't something that he could do it without being God. And you know what? He could have kept going. He could have cleaned the whole temple out. He could have cleaned the town. He could have cleaned it all out. But he was leaving an example there that he had the power to do it. And for some strange reason, we don't see it. Everybody just stood and watched with their mouth open. We saw him there as Joshua. He was the Joshua of the New Testament. And that's, by the way, his name. Jesus is Joshua. That is the Greek rendering for the word Joshua. So Jesus cleans house. Then he runs into the first personal one-on-one with the Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, this religious man. And he tells this religious man, you must be born again. And he tells him this, you must be born from above. And then John the Baptist is going to fade off the scene here. And he's giving his final words that John, the writer, John writes and records here his words. And he's telling them, there is a plan in place here that is above. This is the testament of the above doctrine. This is the testament of above versus the earth. For centuries, it was all about the earth. You'll see in the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament, the promises are about the earth. It's about the blessing. It's about land blessing. It's about temporal blessings. It's about blessings on the earth. But now something's going to change. It's not the earth anymore. The blessings now aren't down, they're above. He gives the above direction. He says it's going to be above. In fact, he just told Nicodemus here in a conversation, Jesus did, that you must be born from above. This is a plan that involves above. This is a plan about heaven, not earth. It is not about earthly Israel, but heavenly Israel. It divides the earthly from the heavenly. It really was always like this, but Jesus' coming made it crystal clear what the plan is. We are on, and we as a church need to be in it. We need to be in the above plan, and we need to understand it, and we need to be recruiting men and women for the plan above. It's above. You see, this is all about above. It's not about down here. Now, I want you to see verse 31. He says, it is above all. He says, from before, from now, above anything or anyone who has ever lived, above Israel, above Jerusalem, above anything that you've been taught or learned, above the temple, above Jerusalem, all of these important things that are on earth. He says, this is about above all. Verse number 32, it was about a testimony. We see verse 32, verse 33, verse 34, verse 35, and verse 36 are all really revealing the above all plan. Verse 32 is about the testimony of above, testimony from above. Verse number 33 is the seal from above. Verse number 34 is the spirit from above. And verse number 35 is the love from above. And verse number 36 is the final conclusion on this whole matter of above as it applies to you and I and to the world today. Okay? Testimony from above. Verse number 27, if you go back up, verse 27 earlier here, John says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He is telling, he's making a statement to these disciples who are bickering over purification. You know that Jesus is baptizing more disciples than John, and John has said it's not about here. It's not about purification anymore. It's not about these little traditions. It's about heaven. It's about above. And he's trying to get them to see this is a plan about above. And we need to see the above in this. And I think today it's often the same as us. Today we get caught up in down here. We get engaged in earthly things. And folks, you're missing it. It's not about down here. It's about getting in connected with up there. He says he cannot. I want us to go back to the, we're in chapter 3 of John. Go back to verse number 3. He says, verse number 3, as he's talking to Nicodemus, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's a Greek word there, that word again, that really means above. It has the same idea. Again is good, but above gives you the idea. It's born from heaven. And that's what John was saying later. You've got to receive this from heaven. Nicodemus, I know you're a great teacher. You're a ruler and you're a somebody in the Sanhedrin and of the 70. We know you're a man of reputation, and I'm glad you came and talked to me tonight. But I want to tell you tonight, Nicodemus, you must be born from above. This is a spiritual birth that is real, that has to happen in you in order for you to get in on the plan. Verse number 7. Verse 7 of chapter 3, as he concludes the conversation with Nicodemus, he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And that word is the same Greek word, above. You must be born from above. You say, but I go to church. I go to church and I think I'm a good person. At least I try to be. And I try to be a good neighbor. I'm a good daddy. I'm a good, or maybe a good wife. I'm a good, you know, I have good parents. That's got nothing to do with it. You must be born again. That's the plan. That's what he's revealing here. And John is teaching it. You must be born from above. You see, I was baptized when I was a little kid. It's not a good enough. You got to be born from above. Do you see what happens when a person comes to the end of themselves and you say, I need help? And you, somebody shows you the Bible, opens you the scripture, and you start reading it. And you might read it for a while, and you'll start maybe attending a church where the gospel is preached, and you start hearing a message you've never heard before, and it's not about down here, it's about heaven and about being born again. And it works in your heart. You'll go home, you'll be puttering around the house, and God will be speaking to you. He'll keep speaking to you, drawing you, calling you, call on me. That's what he did to me. My mom gave me a Bible. I started reading it. A year later, I started listening to gospel preachers on the radio. And later, another half a year goes by, I ended up going to hear a preacher in Quesnel, B.C. And that preacher is what, well, I heard the preacher on the TV. That's where I accepted Christ. And then later I heard another preacher, and I thought, that's what I need. I need to be following that kind of Christianity. God uses that. It's called conviction of the Holy Spirit. He gives you no rest, no peace, until you either say, no, I don't want it, or yes, I do. He gives you the final choice, but without him, you couldn't even make the choice. Does that make sense? You must be born again. John chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, John chapter 1 and verse 11, it's funny, John, the Gospel of John, opens this with this new birth. This new birth was a big deal to John. He really made it clear. The other books don't make it as clear as John does. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John was the one that really gave it. Now, they all allude to it, but none of them make it as clear as the Gospel of John. That's why if you're just starting reading the Bible, like I was told many years ago, read the Gospel of John. Read it once, read it twice, maybe read it three times. Read it and read it, and you'll see the clear, clear, simple message of salvation. And he'll give you what you need to be born again. Now look at John chapter 1, verse 11. There's two things here. Verse 11, we see the word receive. Verse receive, and we see the word believe. Those two things are paramount in the new birth. Verse 11, he came unto his own, that is Jesus, and his own received him not. My dear friend, the first thing you must do is receive him. You must receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John is the book of believing. It's the believing book. It shows us how easy it is, how important it is to believe on Jesus Christ. You must believe. You must believe through faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must believe and you must receive. To receive is going to require another little R. It's called repent. And that's a hard one. Repent is mean, I've been wrong. I see I've been wrong. My attitude's been wrong. My pathway's been wrong. My direction's been wrong. My heart's been wrong. My belief has been wrong. And the first thing God shows you is all the things wrong. And when you see that you've been wrong, then you have to change your mind, change your heart and your attitude. That is called repent. And then you receive. You say, Lord, I receive you. I remember when I did that. After hearing the preacher on the TV, I thought about it for a long time that night. I'd read the Bible, but I came to the place where I said, Lord, I want to be a Christian. It was a hard thing. It was a really hard thing to do, but I prayed and I said, God, I want to be a Christian. I didn't know what to say. I'd never prayed. Nobody was helping me. I said, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Will you help me believe? I receive you into my heart. I was all by myself in an apartment in 1977. And you know what happened that night? I was born from above. Now, it took a while to kind of get that, but there was a change that happened that night. Folks, that's the plan. It's for men and women to be born from above all over the world through receiving, repenting, and believing the gospel. Repenting and believing. Verse 33. Verse 33, chapter 3, verse 3. Verse 33 says, he that received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. Now, what on earth does that mean? What this means is the seal from above. It's the seal. These take some thinking, these verses. It's a seal. What it is, it's saying when you receive the testimony of the Bible, of the gospel, and you receive it, and you believe it, you set the seal. It means the deal is sealed. You're saying Jesus Christ is true. He is the Son of God. He did die for me. You're setting the seal. And you know what happens then? The Holy Spirit then confirms the deal. He seals the deal. We see that in the book of Ephesians. We don't have time to go there, but he seals the deal. And we see that twice in the book of Ephesians. The Holy Spirit seals us. Chapter 5, verse 32, I think it is, that he seals the deal until the day of redemption. He seals us. And by the way, that can never be broken. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you're born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. That is such an important verse. I think we have to go there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 32. He seals us until the day of redemption. Where is that verse? Please help me, somebody. I have it here. It's the wrong one, though. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number... That's one of them. There's another one later on in the... chapter 1, and there's one later on in the verse. Okay, chapter 1 and verse 13 of Ephesians says this, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Do you see that? Paul's teaching what John was teaching, what John the Baptist was teaching. He's saying, after that you believed, you trusted, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now there's a verse, chapter 4, verse 30. Chapter 4, verse 30. Thank you. Boy, that's good. I'm going to do this from no more often. Okay, chapter 4 and verse 30. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." You know what the day of redemption is? When Jesus comes back the next time. You're sealed until that day. Can't change it. You say, but what if I blow it as a Christian? What if I stop living the Christian life? What if I start swearing? What if I start doing something bad? Like, I mean, a big sin. Is that going to mean I'm going to lose it? Not if you're born again. You are sealed until the day of redemption. When you receive his testimony, then the day you receive that testimony, that means saying, I know God's true. I believe it with my heart. I see it. I see it. I know it. I know it. I believe it. I believe it. Something happens between heaven and you. You are born from above, and the Holy Spirit seals that deal until the day of redemption. It's an amazing plan. It's part of his plan, folks, and it's a good one. I'll tell you, there's nothing better, no salvation, nothing offered in the religious world anywhere that even comes close to it. Sealed from above. Verse number 34, we see in verse 34 of chapter 3, the Spirit from above. Chapter 3 and verse number 30, the Spirit from above. "For whom he hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." He's saying this is a partnership, this work of the gospel. It's a partnership that is through the Spirit of God. The man that's preaching is filled with the Spirit. The man that's preaching preaches in the power of the Spirit. People receive that message in the power of the Spirit, and it touches your heart, and it does something that nothing else. It does something in your soul. It is preaching that does that. through somebody who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the most important thing for me when I come and preach the Word of God here on Sunday, honestly, is one thing, that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, it's His message, it's His church, it's His work, and woe betide me if I do not. And that is my desire, my goal, my heart, believe me, is to come here and share this amazing message of the gospel, not as men's words, but in the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying here. John is saying, this is a message that is given as men preach by measure of the Spirit. And by the way, he gives everybody a different measure, a different measure. Somebody gets saved. Let's pretend a lady's cooking. She's got her cooking things. You got the measuring cup. She takes it out of the cupboard, and it's half a cup of flour, a cup of olive oil, and a half a cup of baking or a teaspoon of baking. She's putting it in to make this work, this cake, okay, by measure. And the Holy Spirit is doing that throughout the world. And you never know. When you call upon Him and you believe on Him, you receive the Holy Spirit, but the measure we do not know. Now, He does the same thing for everybody. He saves you. He seals you. But He also gives you a gift to serve with, a Holy Spirit gift. That is the part that's a surprise, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a whole lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit today. There's all kind of crazy doctrines out there about the Holy Spirit. But really, it's pretty simple. It's a plan from above. The Holy Spirit giving His Spirit to those who believe. Everyone who believes receives the fullness of the Holy Spirit the minute they're saved. Now, to stay filled is up to you. The stay filled with the Holy Spirit is a thing we have to give diligence to every day. Filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, keep sin out of our life, walking, getting the carnal attitudes, the carnal things, earthly things. It's for heaven. It's a plan for heaven to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Spirit of God. And in fact, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, if we do not have the Holy Spirit, we are still natural men. We cannot understand the things of God because they are foolishness unto Him. Neither can He know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to have the Holy Spirit to understand the plan, the spiritual things, to have your eyes opened. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit from above. Next, verse 35, we see love from above. Love. He puts this in here, and it's very important. It's twice he's mentioned that in this chapter. He says, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto His hand. He said, there's a love plan. This is love from above. If you go back to John chapter 3 and verse 16, this amazing verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? Love is part of the plan. God's great, amazing love. This hurting world, I'll tell you, what it needs more than anything is to be baptized in the love of God. Our churches need that. We all need it. Fresh love from heaven. The book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5, it says, He says, but the Holy Spirit is given unto you, the Holy Ghost is given unto you, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It was a love plan. And once you experience God's love, I'll tell you, you will never be the same again. You can't turn on Him. You can't. You'll fail and you'll fumble. But when you really know and understand God's great love. And not only His love, He loved His Son, but He shed His love to us. It's been shared and shed all around the world for 2,000 years, and it's still being shared today. You'll see tonight at the 6 o'clock service, you'll see what it's doing in Iran. In this cold religious religion that dominates in Iran, this horrible, dark, ugly religious darkness that prevails in the religion there. But there's no love. There's no love in that religion. No love. But in the grace of God, there's great love. Amazing love. Love that changes lives. Love that children respond to. Love that heals marriages. Love that'll make your marriage amazing. Better than anything in the world. When two, husband and wife, love God and love each other. The love of God. Love. It's such a horrible thing to grow up in a family with no love. A dad that doesn't love. A mom that doesn't love. No love. But I want to tell you something. You come to Jesus, you're going to experience love. Great love. Love from above. The love plan. Then in verse 36, the conclusion of the matter. This is it, John the Baptist. He's given his whole dialogue. He's sharing. He's just sharing. This is it. This is how it sums up. This is the conclusion of the plan. This is what it's all about. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on him. Now that's in the same chapter as the love. That's the same chapter as God so loved the world. But here he's saying, he that believes on the Son has life. He that believes not the Son of God hath not life. Either do you want life? Come to Jesus. If you don't want life, if you're satisfied with the life down here, the earth life, you just stay doing what you're doing. But if you want real life, life from above, come to Jesus. Believe on him. Believe. That's where it starts. Believe. Open your heart. Surrender. Receive. Repent. And you're going to receive his love. But if you don't, here's the warning. He that hath a son hath life. Now, he that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life. But look at the last part of that verse. This is solemn. This is serious stuff. The last, very last few words of this verse, of John's conclusion, but the wrath of God abides on him. He's saying if you reject this life, if you reject this plan from above, if you reject receiving him, if you reject repentance, if you reject it, you're living under the cloud of the wrath of God. Now, when you look out in Prince Albert, you don't see people. I see them all getting, this morning I've come to work, people are going by on their skidoos. These new skidoos, they're the terrible sounding things. But Sunday, they're out there playing. It's play day. They should be in church. Countries drunk with pleasure seekers. Seek pleasure, 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 pleasure. We're addicted to drugs, we're addicted to alcohol, and drunk on pleasure. But I want to tell you, everyone out there, the wrath of God is like a big dark cloud on them. The wrath of God. And folks, if there's one thing you'd never want to connect to God's wrath. It's coming. Read the book of Revelation, you'll see a little bit about it. Read the book of Luke chapter 16 and you'll see the wrath of God. That's what's coming for those who reject Jesus Christ. The wrath of God. God's wrath, like a big cloud that's coming over the horizon. You can see it all over the world. His wrath is building against wickedness and sin. The wrath is coming. We must turn to Jesus with all of our hearts and experience his plan from above. His plan. It's above all. It's in everything. And it still is. And it's for you. It's for you today. It's a plan. It says in Colossians chapter 3, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He's telling you, he talks in the book of Galatians chapter 4, he says, Jerusalem, that is from above. He says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, he has a name that is above all. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says he has a power that is above all. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he's able to do above all. That's our Savior. That is what he has planned. That's his plan. The question this morning is, are you in it? Are you engaged? Are you connected with this great plan? Let's pray.